Welcome to the Drinking Gourd. And we don't own the rights to none of this music, but right now we have Crit, another nigga, coming up.
Let go!
I want you all to go to your windows. Go to your windows and yell out. Scream with all the life that you can muster up inside your bruised, assaulted, and battered bodies. I am sick and tired of being a nigga. I don't want to be another nigga.
Tell the government. I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't wanna be another nigga. Waiting with my hands out, broke in the hood.
Hey yo yo yo, wake up, Tri-City man. This the boy SPC Desi.
This your boy Mar Ulysses.
And this your girl Sweet T.
And man, this is our first episode of the Drinking Gourd, where the topic is going to be niggas is the wave, man. I know a lot of times, a lot of people say the N-word, but we trying to figure out who can and who can't say it, man. So we trying to give some, speak some life into the Tri-City. We going to handle the tough topics, and then we going to got down, shit, just get down to the nitty-gritty.
We really trying to figure out, like, what's the difference between me being my nigga and my nigger.
My nigger? What? You had an ER. That's tough.
It's a difference. You know, it's kind of how we express it. You're like.
And then also, does it matter who says ER or not? Can black people say ER?
I know one thing, though. Don't add no ER when you talking to me, though, goddamn. My answers came too goddamn far to be an ER. I know that goddamn much.
So basically, the ER going to end you in the ER.
I like that.
I mean, that's the way we're going about it. We're not trying to discriminate between white, black, any race, creed, or color, but it's an understanding. Why say something you never felt?
Well, let me ask you this. What if a black person came up to you and said, nigger? How would you feel?
It's different because when we say nigger nowadays, it can be terms of endearment, acknowledgement.
No, not nigger. Nigger.
Oh, you talking about that ER.
That hard
and R.
Listen, hard R. I know.
If it was my cousin Ramon coming up to me, call me a nigger, Ramon ain't gonna be Ramon no more. Ramon gonna be Raymond.
Nigga gonna be Ramona.
Is that gonna be Raymond Noodle?
But nah, real spill though, man. We just, you know, I mean, I'm gonna give y'all my take. So I used to feel like, you know what I mean? Can't nobody say the N word. If I say it, can't nobody say the shit, right? I mean, shit, if I'm not saying it, can't nobody even get mad about the shit. But then I was like, oh, nah, hell no, y'all got me fucked up. As I sit here and sip my Henny and eat my Red Velvet cookie, I thought about it like this. My ancestors endured all this shit just for me to not take it and make it something great. Make nigga great again. You dig what I'm saying? Everything else straight. Why we can't say nigga? So I started saying nigga. I look at you and say my nigga. Not because, you know what I mean, you bad, but because, you know what I mean, my folks endured so much stuff. Why not take some negative and shine some light on it and make it positive?
Well, let's educate the audience for a second. Nigga is the adjective. Basically describes somebody that acts in an ignorant manner. That it doesn't really pronounce any color. It doesn't even dictate a race or a creed. But you think we came into this country as slaves. We came into this country basically as indentured servants against our own will, working and building up a country that they want to make great again in this day and age. So with that being said, the word nigga went from being an embarrassing statement in modern day terms, ghetto, to something we use to our benefit.
Not to mention, nigga came from the term niggas, which means royalty or king. So if I look to you, or if I look to you as my brother or my sister, I'm looking at y'all. I'm not saying nigga as in you ignorant. I'm saying nigga as in we royalty. We come from something that was so great. But they took what we was calling each other when it was great. They took it. They flipped the words around, mm-hmm. and they made it derogatory. They made it to where it was something that, man, dang, he called me a nigger. I'm so hurt. But nah, in today's time, we going to take that same word that was meant to hurt us. We going to take it, and we going to use it to empower each other, and we going to flip it. Now, let's see what you got to say about that.
Well, actually, I agree with that. But at the same time, I use nigger as a protest in a way, as a privilege. I can say it. I think that people who aren't black don't have the means to say it. They don't have that privilege. Black people don't have a lot of privileges, but this is the only privilege that we as a community can say that no other community can say. We have this privilege above all other races, that normally other races have more privilege than us.
And you have a strong point. I mean, we've been stripped from everything. Royalty, our families, our mothers, our fathers. We have everything took from us. We was beaten for not doing work other people was too lazy to do. And now we faced with today's time of hearing make America great again. When was it great? Let's make niggas great again. Let's make each other great again. Let's empower each other. Let's say, okay, what's up, my black brother, my nigga? What's up, my sister, my nigga? You feel me?
Well, so, the thing is, we've never not been great. We've been told we're not great.
We've been underappreciated to the fact that it became...
We believe it.
Exactly.
We've been brainwashed to the fact that a certain demographic of people made us feel like we less than thou, or we less than what we should be. So I'm going to look at you proudly and be like, man, that's my nigga right there. Because we done came so far. You did? So, I mean, if you think about saying it, don't say it. Feel comfortable saying the shit in your house. Don't go out in public saying the shit, because... Look, that shit'll get you fucked up. Point blank, period. City girls, period. Tuh. That shit straight like that. I mean, hey, we from the South. We done been here all up Ham Hill. My mama, my grandmama know, in their lifetime, they protested, they fought for all that shit, you did. So I'm not finna let their work go in vain, and I'm not finna let no people win by telling me I can't say it because they can't say it. Hell no. Nah. If that's the case,
I think that's the reason why people are upset that they can't say it. Because truth be told, if you have access to everything at your fingertips, but you're told that you can't do this and there will be consequences, you're not used to that. You're walking around this earth thinking you can steal things, bold, you can take almighty. Things, you're bold, that you can do whatever you want to. But the minute you say nigga and you're not supposed to, quote unquote.
Oh, it should be no repercussions at all.
There should be no repercussions, but there are. And that is the reason why there's this argument of, well, I can say nigga. No, you're not black, you can't say it.
Let's examine this on a more widespread point. It's so much from the culture that has been robbed from us. They see this word, they see these statements that we make, and they see how we make them, and they want to use them. But you overlook how much has been taken from us, from doctors, inventors, people that make investments. We have HBCUs that have been robbed from accreditation because of money, monetary value that we have to pay to keep accreditation. When you have PWIs that don't have the same problem. When you take something and you rob it of its culture, and you take something and you blind it to its worth, what do you create? You create hopelessness.
Man, this is going to be another indecisive. We're going to be fighting the same fight from here to goddamn kingdom come. You see what I'm saying? Like, when you got all these, and it even go, that's why I named the topic of this podcast, Niggas is the Way. Because no matter where you go, where you look, hell, I seen some shit on Facebook the other day, goddamn. Not white people, but it was these Asian guys getting fuckboy haircuts. And I'm like, how the hell you getting a fuckboy haircut? How you making your hair nappy? So, like, we are often underappreciated, but people take our culture, remix it, and make it their own. I ain't never seen no a white person with dreads until black people start wearing dreads. I mean, high tops, high left, low rights. People want to be us so bad, but they don't want to give credit where it's due.
Everyone want to be a nigga, but nobody wants to be a nigga.
Yeah. Nobody wants a nigga struggle. That's what it is.
And that's the thing. I seen something on Facebook the other day. Don't quote me because I may be incorrect a little bit. It says, first is ghetto and then it's popular.
Yeah.
Think about the culture. Think about dreads. That was ghetto. They looked at us as ragheads.
They said it was dreads because it was a dreadful look. Shout out to Ephesian Long because he taught me that when I was a little bit of boy, man. Asbury's on. But they took some shit and said that it was dreadful, but then turn around, remix it, remake, whoop, swag, and now the shit popular, you did.
Exactly. And now it's in New York Fashion Week.
Exactly. New York Fashion Week. That's some dunk of the day shit, Charlamagne. Point that shit out on the next Breakfast Club meeting, all that good shit.
And then you seen where they take fashion. We wear do-rags to keep our ways. We wear do-rags to keep our hashtag. They take do-rags.
Yeah, it's functional. It ain't
fashion. Exactly. They made the shit a fashion. Come on, bitch, now. We been trying to get ways for years. Come
on, now. And then They take the black culture and they make fun of us. The black face? Come on, Gucci. You need black designers in there to tell you what's right or wrong? No, you need common ethics.
Well, the problem
ethics.
Is you don't have black people sitting at these tables making these decisions.
We only go that's so far. They only let us go so high. You see what I'm saying?
Because honestly, if someone black was sitting at that table making a creative design decision, that wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have seen that on that floor. But the problem is, we don't have these people sitting at these tables because there's no access.
Man, if you want to see it to its finest, I swear to God, man, go watch Blackish, dog. Blackish will put you on so much game. It'll put you on so much about how they deal with these topics and how he actually an advertising genius. up there on the board telling them what they can and can't say. Me personally, y'all want to be us, but y'all don't want to endure our struggle. Now, I know, I get it. You know what I mean? I understand that some of y'all that was out there, in the, you know what I mean? Y'all was out there, not in the field, but y'all was out there fighting the same fight we was fighting. And we appreciate it. I mean, we thank you for that, but that still don't give you the right to nigga. I mean, I would have voted for Obama a third term. I don't give a fuck if there was a third term. You still wouldn't have been able to say it because you haven't felt the pain. You hadn't seen the look in your 70-some-odd-year-old grandma's mouth, I mean, eyes, when somebody say nigga to her. Y'all don't never, y'all won't ever, 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 ever. And as long as there will be existence on earth, y'all will never feel the pain behind that word. So therefore, if you say it, you will feel the pain behind this ass.
Well, that's exactly why I say it, honestly, because it's the fact that I have this privilege that I've been stricken away from, you know. There are so many privileges that are taken away from us. This is a privilege that I have that not everyone has. So I say that. I utilize that.
And let's talk about the shift of the culture. We have black people that make designs. We have black owned clothing line that don't get the type of exposure that they need. So we have FUBU for us, black by us.
For us by us.
We overlooked that. Now we have Off-White. Virgil's doing big things, but everybody wants to buy the culture. They put Virgil in this position so they can take the culture from us, give it to their kids so they can be cultured.
But then too, it's no context. It's like putting a black figurehead, but there's no context of, you know, that there is a black designer creating these things. It takes away from the idea of, you know, being able to completely understand what is going on.
I feel like all this goes back to Darwinism, where only the strong survive. If you take a specific demographic of people and you make them feel like they are less than, you create a cycle where they will always be bottom. You tell them they 3/5 of a human, and you portray that image for so long, then they ain't got no choice but to think that. And
well, it's not only psychological, it's systemic too.
Yeah, we the ones that they benefit off for privately owned jails.
Yeah.
They take us and they say we legally slaves if we go to the pen. Shout out to me. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate him. I appreciate Jay. I appreciate all the cats that's out there that's black and that's trying to put us on a bigger scale and bring, you know, That kind of sort of try to bring, you know, they try to open eyes for people. Like, they have a platform, they use their platform to not only get what they got out, they use their platform to get out the black struggle.
And it's crazy because just look at the culture. Look at us. We were slaves. We had over 100 some odd slaves being held captive by two or three white men. Shout out to Matt Turner for leading the rebellion, because he was one of the first people to wake up and say, okay, it's 100 of us. It's only two of you. What the hell make you think I'm gonna let you keep me captive?
That's how I feel about it. I feel like the game is being played on our back. I know a lot of people don't like to say it, but shit, a lot of people of black, brown, and melanated skin colors helped build this country. So I feel like they're playing a game on our back, and all we gotta do is stand up in this end game. A lot of people, that's why they give us the crab in the barrel mentality. That's an episode for a later time. But they fight us against each other. They play us against each other. You know what I mean? They make us feel like, you know what I mean? That's how colorism come in. Oh, you better than me because you lighter than me. Nah, we all the same. We are niggas. We not niggas. We niggas. But we just going to say nigga because we know that you feel uncomfortable when we say it, but you can't.
To add on that, when you take the social structure and you break that down, you take the lower class, you take the middle class, and you take the upper class. How big of a factor do y'all think race play into that?
Absolutely. Big.
Facts. Big facts.
And it's crazy because not talking down on white people per se, but you have trailer trash white people. Then you have bottom barrier black people. They seem to understand each other because they're on the same level of the culture.
No matter where you go.
But class is so steeped in race.
Yeah, no matter where you go, no matter what race you are, it's always going to be some people that you don't want representing you. No matter if you black, white, Asian, Jew, Gentile, it's always going to be some lower class people like that. That ain't going to change. That is what it is. You did?
Another big thing we need to do is people stop letting your social class determine how you dress. It's homeless people that will get up, go to a job interview, put on a suit, shave, and do everything right to look according to like they make $1 million a day.
No matter where you're from, don't think you can't make it out.
And it's crazy because you have people that live in the trailer parks that they got a sad, do this, listen to this type of music. No, break that struggle within your mind, then break that struggle within yourself. That's how you change generations.
Man, have a hustle about yourself, man. Exactly. I always had that get up and go. If you ever sit back and you think you ain't got no option, you ain't got no choices, bro. We from Phoenix City, dog. We from Phoenix City, Columbia. We from the Tri-City, man. We ain't never had too much in there. We probably ain't gonna never have too much in there. Down here. We got to go to Atlanta for all the biggest pop in this shit. Exactly. We got to go other places. Man, nah, that ain't even how it's going to go. All you got to do to break this cycle, man, you got to get up, have some hustle about yourself, get you some, find you something that you enjoy.
I disagree on some level. I do think it's a systemic problem with pushback as well. I mean, sure, there are things that you can get up and go, but just simple things of like owning a house, going to get a loan, going to get all these things, the interest rates are higher for us. So we always, yeah, we have a hustle about ourselves, but systemically there is pushback a bit against what we have access to.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that, you know what I mean? It's like the rich get richer, the poor get poor.
Yeah.
That all goes back to Darwinism, you know what I mean? I feel like we just been told for so long that we less than, that we started to believe it.
But even if, you know, 100% of our community were to have a hustle about them, not saying that we don't or do, just saying if, even if there was 100%, the system will still be against us fundamentally.
And I feel like fighting that, that's where unity comes in. We can't be,
I think, fighting against that, our brother. You have to play the game. You have to play the game. You have to get into the game. You have to not even have the mind. You have to have the mindset of the other in order to get in the game, to pursue the game. Then once you have access to whatever it is you're gaining,
that bitch.
I'm not necessarily in those words, but yeah, sure, you flip it.
I look at it like this. In the black culture, you have people that are fixing their plate. And hear me out. We're fixing our plate so we can eat. We're taking on a struggle. We're embarking ourselves to put ourselves in a challenging position to understand how we can create more for ourselves and our generations of family. Then you have people that we bring on with us and try to teach them the game, but they rather eat off our plate
than
learn
their own.
Exactly.
Let me ask you something.
Fix your own plate. Don't come to my house thinking I'm going to fix your shit. Hell no, you better get your ass up, get your privilege to fix your own shit.
And that ties back into having to hustle about
yourself.
If y'all
come to my house, don't go in my refrigerator.
If you come to my house, more than likely, your ass is family. I'm going to be like, bro, don't ask me no shit. Go get it.
Exactly. And we need that same mentality.
Y'all come to my house and get whatever you want. I'm pretty sure there will be Kool-Aid and something else in the refrigerator that you can have.
Shout out to Ms. B.
Exactly. Shout out to my mama, Ms. Betty.
Let's use this same philosophy with the hustle. You see, I have a hustle. I'm bringing you on to the hustle. I'm teaching this hustle so you can take this hustle and feed yourself.
Shit, this is my hustle right here. I'm just trying to enlighten my black, brown brothers and sisters around here.
Exactly. So don't take the hustle and milk it somebody else until you drain them out. And then after you just stole all the food off their plate, you find another plate to eat off of. That's parasitic. You don't want
to
do that.
Let me ask you something. I'm just curious to see what y'all say. What is your idea of community, finding community versus pioneering?
I feel
like, would you ever go to a place where there wasn't a black person and try to start up something for black people, or do you seek to look for community?
It all depends, man.
Because I think it's more of a chicken and an egg type of situation.
I feel like it all depends. Of course, when you go somewhere, you're naturally attracted to and you want to be around people that look like you and talk like you and act like you. But I think that's part of the problem. I think we need to be less afraid of venturing out. I mean, what's wrong? White people, Asian people, whoever, they gentrify all the time. Why can't we be the ones to gentrify? Why can't we go take over a non-black community?
We do, and they call it the hood.
And they do.
They re-gentrify.
So it's all stigma. So if we get these stigmas, flip it, turn it, we gonna be good, because, you know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you one of the things that I feel like. I mean, I feel like we the wave, like everything from us, from hair to style to clothes, like low-key, FUBU coming out with some heat. I might go back to FUBU.
I haven't seen the new FUBU.
The new FUBU low-key look legit.
I had some.
And y'all see me with some FUBU on, y'all motherfucker better not clown me. Y'all better go get y'all some too, because it's for us and it's by us. I'm telling y'all that right
now. Let me ask y'all something. Do y'all really, really believe in buying black?
I do. And let me expound on this. When you buying black, that don't mean, okay, let's have $15 worth of quality and charge $60 for it.
But are you really buying black, though? Because everything comes from somewhere. And I learned this from...
Absolutely.
Trigger warning with Killer Mike. It's on Netflix. If y'all want to go peek, go peek. But I get, you know what I mean? I'm a vocal person. I'm a vocal and I'm an auditory person, so...
Trigger warning?
Trigger warning with Killer Mike. It's on Netflix. Y'all go watch it. Their brother be dropping some jewels.
Check the big homie out.
I don't agree with everything he's saying 100%, but I agree to a certain extent. When you buy black, you got to think about it like this, how he was putting it. Okay, I'm going to a black restaurant.
Okay.
It could be, for the city, we right here in the city, it could be Ed's, goddamn, it could be Lily B's.
Mm-hmm.
We support them. We ain't got no problem supporting them. But buying black goes deeper than just Ed's and Lily B's.
Talk to them.
What does their produce come from?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it comes from something that's not owned black. So we need to get back to the business of since we the wave, some of y'all new school niggas, some of y'all niggas that didn't grow up picking peas in the field like me and my mama did, some of y'all that ain't never seen the cotton stalk, ain't never picked a peanut, we need to, as a black community, be the wave that goes back to generational wealth, owning, buying land, learning how to farm.
Agreed. Buying land.
Buying land is the best thing you can do for your family.
I have been saying that is the best investment.
Wealth. And learn how to hunt. Learn how to fish. Learn how to grow, produce, and harvest your own crops. It's deeper than what you see on TV. Sometimes you got to do some self-examining and be like, okay, was it really that bad with my mama? My mama and papa, my grands, my big dad, was it really so bad when they was farming? No, it's not. I promise you, I hunt, I fish, I'm an avid hunter, I'm an avid fisher. Ain't nothing better than...
He stay in the woods, y'all.
I stay in the goddamn woods, but I wear camo 7 days out the week. That's every goddamn day. I might
he
wear...
really ain't black. He camo. He came out of womb camo.
What? You can't see me nowhere. I might goddamn go to church with some camo on tomorrow. You never goddamn know.
He ain't even pro-black. He pro-camo, y'all. Who am I talking to?
He don't go to church.
Wow, she just me and God know my heart. But what I'm saying is
work all, with God as he works with you, play. Keep going.
All jokes aside, man, I promise you, you find enjoyment in knowing your food ain't got all these pesticides, all these preservatives. Man. You know where everything done been. You know what I mean? You know where everything done been. You know what's in it. You know what ain't in it. You know what they're giving you. Cause look, I'm gonna tell you, don't trust this government, man.
And that falls way deeper than what he's saying. In the food, GMO, non-GMO, look that up. Learn that. Learn what your investment when you go into your body. It's people out here that's vegan, but they don't even know they eat GMO, non-GMO. They don't even know what they're doing. They're putting things into the body based off what they see on TV.
Also, can y'all educate yourselves before you become vegan and everything? Y'all be all deficient and all.
Yeah, y'all be part-time. How y'all gonna be? How you gonna be a part-time vegan?
Pseudo healthy.
Nigga, we know you eat macaroni with the real cheese.
Hold on, let's speak on something. Still, we talking about veganism. Jaheim, whatever woman you put first, you need to put her last, bro. You look sick.
Your ass is struggling. You look sick.
I heard you're a Uber driver. Come on, pull up over here.
Nigga, what? We going to lift you up in prayer. How about that, my brother? Amen.
Lean on me.
Back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, back to niggas is the way, man. It's in everything. Everything. People want to wear the do-rags. Know what a do-rag is for first, man.
First of all, why is Urban Outfitters charging all this money for like bonnets and do-rags and everything? Can we go to a cheap store and get it for $2?
Bro, you can go to Walmart or the Yin Yang and get them a whole for about what, $1.50?
Time out. Let's speak on the Yin Yang. The way they invest into themselves, we need to adopt that. They have families of 10, and I learned this culture from one of them personally.
And they get rich off of us. Y'all buying that Yaki and that Brazilian.
Exactly.
And what? Cambodian, all these waving, milky 28, 20. Nigga, them is rims.
Listen, they get a family of 10. They all save up roughly amount like $3,000. That $3,000 times 10 is $30,000. They take that money and invest into an open market.
Reinvest in your community. Fuck the market. Come on, community. All y'all niggas out here sitting dope. I'm not shaming y'all. Take the money that y'all making, reinvest it, wash it, clean it, buy back your community. That's why the hell is you selling dope and you making tens of thousands, $100,000, and your mama still paying rent? Buy that shit. I never understood that. Y'all want to be the way for the wrong shit. Y'all want clout. Y'all want power. Y'all want art. That's all. That's cool. But if you want to be a real way, my guy, take that, reinvest, show other black and brown people in your community that, hey, being the wave is more than just this goddamn Gucci belt, this Fendi Prada shirt, and these Louboutin shoes. These red bottoms, them red bottoms was funded by us, guy. That's our blood on the ground.
It's too much free enterprise out here to be losing yourself for an image. It's way too much free enterprise.
All that dope money and washing. Get you a washer. And I ain't advocating the selling the drugs, but if you're going to do something the right way.
And we definitely going to have a podcast on financial literacy.
We are. Be the best black man, black woman, black.
Because it doesn't make any sense that y'all walking around in Louis Vuitton driving all these nice cars, but ain't got no life insurance. But that's
y'all, I'm trying to tell you, we buried too many folks around here with no goddamn life insurance.
Listen, GoFundMe ain't life insurance, man. It's hard to inform y'all.
It does not translate to a nice burial and taking care of bills after you long gone and leaving it to your kids.
I'm trying to
tell you. And another thing, don't poison the community and think the community need to fund your funeral.
At all. All we trying to say is, man, y'all want to be the wave. Be a wave that can live for generations after.
Be a make sustainable
sure, way. Yeah, make sure not just you and your mommy and daddy good. Make sure your kids good. Make sure your kids' kids good. Make sure your kids' kids is good. We being raised for the wrong thing. Everybody want to be like us, but they making a profit off the things that we do and we go to jail for. So be the one that legitimizes and profit for your kids or the community. Like, I know at least goddamn 30 drug dealers right now. But what they doing for the community? These ain't.
I just want, for the record, I don't know
any. Man, like I was saying, I know plenty of drug dealers that don't do shit for the community. These is not old drug dealers. These is new goddamn drug dealers. But anywho, back to the way, man. We just want to highlight the influence that black people have on the community. I mean, like, everything is taken from us without glorification. I mean, like, from the way we dress, the way we look, the way we do body piercings, everything. I mean, like, gauges and all that shit came from Africa. We've been doing body modifications since Kingdom Come.
True.
But, I mean, once we do it, it ain't cool. But once everybody else pick up on it, the shit cool and we gonna make that shit away. You know what I mean? That's why I wanted to take this time and make the first podcast about how great we are and the influence that we have on other cultures. You dig? So, I mean, like, right now, wherever you might be, wherever you may be, look at the shit that you got on. Look at the shit that you got around you. Look at the art you might got. Because whether or not, the Harlem Renaissance proved that we got hella influence. Hella influence over art. We got influence in art. Most of the music that we come up with, the shit came from blues. Country, argue me now. Country came from blues.
Yeah.
Country ain't shit but slowed down blues.
True.
And
we have influence over any and everything. It came from us, but yet we are still the demographic that lacks cultural appreciation.
Tell me this though. Humor this for a second. Being black is a hustle. You agree with that?
Being black is more than a hustle. Being black is a mind state.
Well, I think being black, I see what you're saying. Being black has become so popular that it's commodified. And that it is.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it has become so.
I got you. Being black is profitable.
Absolutely.
But
it has just become profitable.
You got to think of it like
this. It's become profitable once a certain demographic of people have found out that it was profitable.
Absolutely.
Before it was profitable, it was niggerish. It was hoodish. It was thuggish. It was sentencing by jail. We was getting 25, 30 years for shit. How many of y'all right now know niggas that's out there that's in jail for weed? Now, niggas been smoking weed so long that the government was like, man, I got so many niggas in jail right now that I think I'll make it legal and say fuck their, you know what I mean, their status of, what'd you call it? Jailing? Shit, I don't know. What's the word for that? Fuck that. We gonna leave them in jail and make this shit legal, and we ain't gonna never let them motherfuckers out of jail.
And what I meant by this when I said being black is a hustle, because people take being black and they take being black and they take everything that we use to really define our culture and they make money from it. Like you said, being black is profitable. Being black is a hustle because we have white companies that are being black. Hear me out. We have white companies that take what we appreciate as black people, black culture, and they take it and they put a dollar sign next to it.
Let me say this.
Something. Do y'all think any performers, artists, or whatever,
are you to push black agenda so white people can make money off of? I sure do.
Okay. I mean, like, black artists, do you think that they have authenticity about what they put out, or do they do that with the market?
I think they got it to a certain extent.
I agree.
I feel like when it comes to these entertainers, I feel like the record companies own them. You dig?
Yeah.
So they can do what they want, but at the end of the day, they still own, which still instills a slave mentality. So you got artists like, and I don't really want to say their names, but like, they'll use artists like T.I., Chris Brown, they'll portray them a certain type of way. They doctor them up. They, you know what I mean? They paint them as such. And then you got not only like, all right, back in the day we had BET. That shit is trash now. But you can take artists like,
no offense BET,
we is not trying to down y'all. We just saying how it used to be.
And who is handling y'all's Twitter pages?
Big facts. But all I'm saying is like, these artists are still owned, which to me is a certain mentality. So when you own somebody and you control somebody, you control also what they do.
Yeah.
So you can, no matter how many publicists you got, if he's so hood, you can clean him up to a certain extent and make him what you want him to be.
I agree.
So I feel like they control these artists to make them out to be what they want to be. And that's how I feel about the 21 situation. You know, my guy was facing deportation. I feel like they want him to be this hoodlum. They want him to be this thug. They want him to be this gangster. But when he started changing his ways, it started fucking up their money. So because he was changing, their money became fucked up and they couldn't control it no more. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
And I'm going to tell you this. When it comes to the industry is still defined as a slave system. Most artists don't make money until they own their masters. These sports too. They don't own their masters.
Yeah, I agree.
So when they own their masters, they become a threat to society because they own how their music is vindicated, how it's syndicated, how it's controlled, and how it's produced. When you own your masters, you become a person.
When you own your masters, you. You who you want to be, you who you are, and you who you forever want to be. When you own that shit, can't nobody else. Nobody else has doctrine. Nobody else has any control of you. You are solely you, and you are who you want to be and who you paint yourself.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we often like look at these black artists who you know, who have grown from, you know, whatever past they rap about, and we also have,
for instance, T.I. You know how when T.I. first came, that nigga was so thuggish.
I didn't want to call names because like T.I.'s my guy.
I appreciate T.I. not only for what he has done for trap music and music in general. And hey, if y'all haven't been to the Trap Museum by now, I highly advise y'all to go and see what this guy T.I. is doing for trap music in the Trap Music Museum in Atlanta over there by the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This guy has taken everything that we glorify, everything that other cultures take and try to emulate. This man has most definitely. Well, let me ask
you
this.
Okay, so since you named my example, I was trying to skirt around T.I. But
he's the GOAT.
He has evolved. He has taken, you know, from urban legend to who he is now, a thriving businessman.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to Hustle Game. Please put out that Dobie.
Some people give him hell sometimes because he's taken an edge off of who he was.
That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't he have the right to evolve?
Everybody has the right.
Why is it that we have this mentality that he should stay in the hood?
Everybody has the right to do what they want to do and how to reinvent and create themselves. That's essentially what evolution is. I feel like T.I. is one of the GOATs of evolving. You saw him come in from this rugged thug who I sold crack and my grandma lived on Summit Hill.
Let's not get it twisted. T.I. still about that life. He just
and T.I. lived on Summit Hill. His grandma been living on Summit Hill for 42 years, nigga.
Yeah.
Ain't that what he said? But you see the evolution in T.I. from him coming in with the hats cop to him on VH1 with his family. And making like a family hustle. That's literally what it is, a family hustle.
Okay, so
with him, he teaching his kids that in ATA, he said, you ain't got to be a dope boy to have money. Point blank, period. And T.I. is the GOAT of evolution.
Let's speak on that. Let's transition from...
He's a whole wave.
T.I. and evolution. Let's transition from the opportunity that he had. T.I. started a record label.
Yeah.
T.I. took a record label and made it an evolution. He took a record label and found young artists to help them grow. Now, let's think back to people that tried to do that before him. For instance, Sam Cooke, also known as, he had the song A Change Is Gonna Come. Sam Cooke tried to start a record label. He got undermined by the white man until he had a record label that was in his name, but he was listed as an employee.
Did you see Two Killings of Sam
exactly.
Cooke?
Exactly.
Hey, man.
Check that out on Netflix. So when you see people like T.I., we see people like 2 Chainz, we see people like Russell Simmons that have record labels where they can own and manage and help black people get out in this industry.
I'm so glad you brought that. I wanted to embrace it. That conversation too. Before, okay, SPC Dizzy, you mentioned before that, yes, you mentioned before that we should try to build up our community and we should be responsible for reproducing whatever, you know, big money that we acquire. We should try to put that back into the community. What do you think about rappers like T.I., who has evolved? Is it, and I'm not saying either way, but I'm asking, is it his responsibility to put money back? Why should he feel that he has to make this money and then put it back in the back in the community to reproduce and build the community up? I mean, like, is it not this whole thing that he can't be self-sustaining and be like, you know what, I made this check. This is for me and my family. Why do I have to put this back in the community?
That was a high five, by the way. But to answer your question, I feel like any and every black person who is comfortable, as the country would say, if you have a decent amount of money, all of you guys should look inward and give back. So if you have enough money to be what the country felt like me say comfortable, then you should look inward and be like, okay, this is how I want to make my community better. For people like with big money, casino money, like T.I. and them, they should be like LeBron.
They should be, but it's not a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure, but pressure bills diamonds. Fuck a pipe. You dig what I'm saying? LeBron opened up a charter school.
Yeah.
If you want an example, like, I can give a damn what he do on court, but off court, LeBron is an amazing.
He's an amazing
guy.
You said what he does off court, on court. It doesn't matter.
I don't care how he plays in the game. Your numbers go up and they go down.
Well,
you can control what happens off court, but you can't control what happens on court. You play against
I'm saying more of like off court. I don't care what he does.
No, off court.
It's not like so much financial, but I'm talking about character value.
Off court, what he does, this man has opened charter schools. This man has given back to the needy. I feel like if you are African American, black, whatever you want to call it, individual, you need to look within yourself and say, hey, when I was growing up, I didn't have such and such.
Also, that should be a podcast.
So because
African American versus black, we need to talk about
because that. I didn't have such and such, I'm gonna look back and say, hey, where was I lacking growing up? I'm gonna take those, what you call them? Whatever you wanna call them, I'm gonna take those
opportunities.
Those opportunities or lack thereof opportunities. I'm gonna take those and I'm gonna capitalize on what I didn't have. Yeah, I didn't have this, but I had this. But
isn't it okay? But at the same time, yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm not saying that I agree or disagree either way, but I'm also asking, all right, from someone like T.I. who is black, who is a product of oppression, why are we so focused on those who are oppressed to rebuild?
Because he knows what it takes to make it from his circumstances.
Well, that's true. I put it like this. And in both instances, with both people, via athlete or artist, they took their setbacks.
You could be normal like us.
They took their setbacks and made statements. That's exactly what happened, because they took the upbringing and they thought about it. They want to be the change that they wish to see. So they invested so much time, money, and character into their community until they began to change the community. Now you have young black leaders, young black successors that came up looking up to these people, not necessarily idolizing them, but they took what they did, they built upon it, and they made the most of it. Exactly. They made the most of it to change the next generation.
Moral of the story, if you want to be a black leader, a black activist, be what you didn't have growing up. And I hope by me saying that statement, that answers your question. Growing up, I didn't have the most. I didn't have the least. I was more so shit. Borderline, I'm playing a goddamn field. But for me, I ain't had no dad. My dad died when I was 8. So all those lessons that I missed, I'm going to say it like this. It's a hard job, but women raise men, to quote the 21. You dig? My mama raised me as my mama and my dad, because my dad died when I was 8. I'm going to say it again in case you hit the first fucking time. My brother, he did all he can good. He did all he can do. So what I'm saying is, with people like that, show with your influence, show the younger generation what you did and did not have. Okay, we see with the glitz, the glamour, and the chains and all the ice. Okay, we see, that's what we see for TD. For TV. We see that. But what we want to see is what you didn't have. Influence us with your wave and show us, okay, I made it out of my circumstances, but I did not have this. I didn't have a dad. Show me that I can make it without a dad.
And
I didn't have. They shouldn't. I'm just saying, like, all of us are oppressed by the system. Why should it be that we, as a product of the system, should be the one to rebuild the community? Shouldn't we be working for the system to rebuild the community?
It's,
make the system work for you. All I'm saying is, take your circumstances and show the younger generation as a wave, because black people with money are the wave.
Yeah.
because you show us that you can come from nothing. Money and all right, okay, niggas is the way, but money is the way. Show us as niggas. Show us as.
I'll say this as we continue to grow as people and generations continue to expand, we have to value each other. We have to value the role of a moment more, because like Denzi was saying, he was raised by a mom. I was raised by a single mom, and I stayed with my grandparents until I can get to the extent where I understood the position my mom was in. She was a young woman, had me at 26, and she was steadily trying to understand how could she be a college student and a mother at the same time. So she had to make sacrifices. I didn't have everything growing up, but my mom taught me how to hustle. She taught me how to put one foot in front of the other and get back
big
up.
Big facts.
And you have to understand that. So when you see the things and the accolades that a person have under their belt, think about what they went through to get to that. I'm no LeBron James. Right. I'm no Michael Jordan. But I was humbled as a kid because I didn't have all the best clothes, all the best shoes. But when I got older and able to attain certain things, I put one foot in front of the other and made sure I wanted to do that. So now as I continue to invest in myself, my community, and my environment, I want people to understand that, you know, don't look at the things that I have now and judge me by. Figure me out. Come down this pathway with me where I was a young kid growing up in not the best neighborhood, trying to make my name better than what it was, trying to get all this dirt off myself. So when people see the things we accomplished, that people don't judge us by our accomplishments. Come walk down this path with me while I take you where I came up at and see how can you make it out of that.
In the words of my nigga Taz G, I came from the dirt and I stepped in the water and it turned into mud, nigga.
Yeah, man.
Point blank, period, though.
You gotta bring so many different dynamics to the table to understand life. Life is a gamble, man. It's a risk. You gotta take risk for reward. And if people don't understand that. So
gotta make sure the risk worth the reward.
And when we tell you black is the way, we're not saying black is the way because we're black. We're saying black is the wave because that's our reality. But you fail to understand the reality when you don't know how to be black.
When you don't walk in the shoes. You are not black.
You don't know.
Don't identify as black. And black is not just calling yourself black.
Black is actions.
It's not even just actions.
Black is beautiful.
Culture.
Black is everything.
It's how you grow up.
Shout out to Mama C, man. I'ma call her Mama C because she ain't been here yet, but shout out to Jack Boy. I call him Jack Boy, but his name is Jack Disclosed. Jack. His name is Disclosed, but
he's not our child.
He's not our child. Shit, I know it ain't mine.
Mama!
But Mama! Migo! Mama just say shout out to her, though, for birthing a beautiful, healthy baby boy. And we wish you were here with us right now, but extenuating circumstances, we understand. We will most definitely save the Mother's Day's podcast for you, because without women like you and mothers like you, we would not be who we are today as black men and women. We thank you. But back to the niggas is the ways topic, though.
Hey, yeah, niggas is the wave, man. Y'all need to understand.
Big wave.
It's the difference between being a nigga and trying to become a nigga.
It's the difference between being a nigga and showing them what a nigga actually is.
It's a difference between being a nigga and trying to break free from the judgments they associate with being a nigga.
You want to be a nigga? Show them what a nigga actually is. Show them that it is black. It is beautiful. It is strong. It is powerful. It is more than just the ER. It is excellence. For example, my guy Lonnie Johnson. A lot of niggas don't know who Lonnie Johnson is, but I guarantee you a lot of y'all niggas done played with a super soaker, and he holds over 140 patents, my guy. So when we say niggas is the wave, it's more than just a statement. It's more so a way of life, because we are the lead when it comes to being a nigga, because can't nobody show us how to be a nigga but us.
You have to be chosen. You can't just identify.
We took nothing and made it into something. We was given not a damn thing in this society, and we made it greatness.
We took these pig intestines and made them chitlins. Who the fuck you know can do that?
Y'all don't eat chitlins.
We took swine and made it delectable.
We took swine and made it prime.
We took bare land and made it into ventures that they cannot take from us.
So before they start dropping their mixtapes, let's
Jules, Mama, bring it back. Mama.
No,
Migos.
No. Keep going.
SBC. Desi. But okay, nah, real so spill though.
Back to
the topic at hand, which we continuously do stray away from.
Obviously.
My fault.
Pray for me, please, at this table. Continue.
Man, but in all honesty, man, for us as black and brown people, we are the wave. People continuously look to us for guidance without our appreciation or appropriation.
And you know what? You also have the choice as to whether how, well, actually into the language you use to represent that culture. If you want to say nigga, you can. But make sure if you say nigga, you are black.
Or brown. Make sure when you check a job application, the shit says African, American, or black.
But we will get into that because there is an actual difference.
Most certainly. That is actually season two.
But I'm not saying just because any brown person can say nigga.
Not
if you are Indian, you are brown. Don't you come up to me saying nigga.
Season two, episode 7 is called Napolitan, and we will most definitely get into that shit there.
Absolutely.
Like Q-Tip said, nigga. Nigga, nigga.
Thank you.
White Trinidad Jane said, nigga, 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 don't believe me, just watch. And just watch us take this simple mirror podcast and turn into some shit that niggas can look forward to. Niggas know what is and what ain't.
We'll make it excellent. For
make
y'all.
It excellent. This right here, my nigga. My niggas, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my niggas, my niggas. This right here will be the city's example of black excellence. I promise you, and I tell you that.
So with that, we welcome you to the Drinking Gourd.
The Drinking Gourd, man. We finna feed you. We finna be your nourishment. We finna wake you up. Stay woke. Stay alive. Stay blessed. Let's get it.
Drink. Follow. Drink.